Hey, what's up, guys? Travis here. And if you've been following me or my story for any length of time, you know that I started a company called Guestio about a year and a half ago now. And one of the things that we are doing this year in 2022 is we're building a concierge program called the Fast Pass that allows you to get booked on top quality shows and platforms for the purpose of spreading awareness for your brand, grabbing attention, growing your credibility, your authority, et cetera, et cetera. And so if you are listening to this right now and you are a seven-figure plus entrepreneur and you have a budget to bring in traffic, attention, credibility, authority to your brand, then this might be a really great program for you. Just head over to travischappell.com/10K. Why 10K? Because we guarantee in this program that you're going to be able to speak in front of 10,000 people within 90 days. Okay, 10,000 people within 90 days. Imagine getting on a stage in front of 10,000 people to share your message, your story. Well, that's exactly what we are doing inside of this program through virtual stages like podcasts or virtual events or YouTube channels or blogs. You name it, we are working with it and we are trying to get you booked on those platforms. So travischappell.com/10x. There's a quick application there. And then right at the end of that application, it'll prompt you to set up a phone call where you'll jump on a call with me and we'll talk through whether or not you're a great fit for this program. Please act fast on this. Do not wait because we are only taking on one or two clients a week due to constraints with our team and the limited supply of high quality shows and platforms that are out there in the market. So if that's you and you're really wanting to explode your brand in 2022, head over to travischappell.com/10K, fill out the application, schedule a quick phone call, and you and I will chat really soon about whether or not this would be a great fit for you. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
You are listening to the Build Your Network podcast.
Welcome to the show. I'm Travis Chappell, and I chat with some of the world's top business influencers, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs in order to crack the code of networking. I believe that who you know is more important than what you know, and that your relationships ultimately determine the person that you become. So if you want to learn the new way of connecting, if you want to fill your network with quality people and skyrocket your results, then you're in the right place, because this is the Build Your Network podcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to another BYN Breakdown. On this episode, we honestly are kind of all over the place, but what had happened was Eric and I were sitting down and recording a couple of these episodes for all of you guys, and we kind of got off on a tangent in between recordings. And the conversation we're having was largely based around religion and hypocrisy and how to healthily challenge the things that you believe. And I just kind of found the conversation really useful and entertaining. So I just hit the record button like halfway through. And this is that last half of the conversation that we were having. So this is kind of an unconventional episode here on Build Your Network. But I think that some of it is really effective for building relationships with people who might hold different views or opinions or beliefs than the ones that you hold to. And so we're just going to release it anyway. Hope you guys enjoy it. Please reach out to us if you have any questions or feedback around this particular episode. Tag me at Travis Chappell over on Instagram. And yeah, hope you guys enjoy this random conversation that my producer Eric and I were having. We'll catch you on the next episode.
With like the religion thing, like I never lost sleep going like, what if the Muslims are right? And I never sit there going like, what if they're wrong? But like the fear of hell is such a big thing of where, you know, when you talk about like your own religion, you're like, that weight of like, what if I'm wrong and I go to hell comes from you believing in the doctrine of hell in the first place. You know what I mean? Which is like when you try to unpack that psychologically, like from the time you were a child, if you get this wrong, you're going to hell.
Right.
So like you can't examine that because the consequence for examining it and having another position is hell.
Right.
Versus like you taking time to be like, why do I believe in hell? Like no one goes to that. It's kind of like working in like a prearranged system of like, if you're, it's like being a sim, you know what I mean? Like you live in your little house and it's like, you can go to the bathroom, you can go to the kitchen, you can go here, but like the sim never builds anything on its own. You know what I mean? It just kind of navigates itself around. So like everything is fear, dude. Like think about even podcasting, like getting people to start a show. Like the number one thing is like, well, what about my 9-to-5? You're programmed by society to think like you need to be afraid of an alternative or like,
what if I lose money
or drugs? Like think about like just pot. Like the way that I thought about pot a year ago was so influenced by like cartoons, like by hearing, you know what I mean? Like
commercials,
Dare, you know what I mean? Like, and you know,
and years of preaching
you know right. what I mean? And it's like weighing out all these things, but you're not even getting, you haven't even been given the facts to look at.
Right.
It's all in this weird bubble.
And it's like, we've already come to the conclusions for you and yes. here they are. Or, don't worry. You don't have to think about it.
Pick your choice. So like in the Christian realm, it's like, do you believe in free will or more sovereignty? Like, you still believe in God. You're not going back further than
right.
like these little choices.
Right. You know which what is I mean? What, which is what we're like the IFB does like to a T, yeah. you know what I mean? Like, they do that on an extreme level where it's just like,
do you go soul winning Saturday or Tuesday?
Do you allow an acoustic guitar with yeah. your worship on Sunday? And do you call it worship? You know what I mean? Well, like,
that's a weird phenomenon that I felt in, like, I just told someone this, like, sometimes when my brain, maybe I've told you this too, but like, it's just a weird thing. It's like a totally psychological thing. But one thing that's really weird for me to feel is sometimes when I get really deep into like when I have to listen to a lot of IFB preaching, or when I have to like, or if I'm just an autopilot, I'm just sitting there, like I'll still feel a weird, like drawing to that.
Yeah.
Or sure. like a weird, like
a lot of that's, I think the nostalgia.
And yeah. Nostalgia. But it's also like, we spent so much time hearing like the people, Stephen Hassett actually talks about this a lot. And this is one of the main reasons I wanted to have him on, because it opened up my eyes to a lot, is he said like cults create persecution complexes. And so the hardest thing about dealing with a cult is that when you attack it, you're proving them right.
Right.
And
right.
so like, that's one thing with me is like, since I'm in the attack position in a lot of times, I remember all the preaching going like, people attack because they're mad at God and hate Christianity and hate, you know, and they right. want to live the way they, and so like sometimes when my brain goes on autopilot, I'll be like, is that me?
Sure.
Am I the person they were preaching about? And it's weird because when my brain's working, I don't think that way, but like, it's so imprinted on me.
Well, yeah, it's psychological objection handling is what they're yeah. doing, is that they're tackling objections before they come
it's
up.
Sales. Like
when we're a teenager, yeah. it's exactly what it is. It's a large indoctrination sequence that comes in by the time when we were
talk
three.
About a funnel
that yeah. happened. Oh, it was. I
mean, and then they get you to Bible college, then they get you on a bus.
Exactly.
Route,
it was you. Like, that's exactly what it was, is the church, you know, growing up in Lancaster, the church has the school. And then you go to the school, and I was in the school from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. And then in high school there, we didn't have like career counselors that sat us down and said, what do you want to do with your life when you get out
they
of here?
They guilted you into what you
it was
need to do.
Basically just like, hey, attend youth conference and teen camp and winter retreat and any youth activity that we have, and make sure that you're at all of the youth things. We'll have chapel twice a week in school. We have Wednesday night Bible study. We have Sunday morning, Sunday night. We have like all these other things to basically indoctrinate you to talk about going into full-time ministry and how awesome that yep. is, and how, you know, how could you possibly do anything else with your life when people are dying and going to hell? You know what I mean? So it's just like, and then, oh, by the way, we also have a college that helps you go into ministry yes. better.
For your convenience.
Do you want an application? Yeah. You know what I mean? And so it's just a giant funnel.
Well,
but the problem with the way, like what happened was that there was no other options. It was either Bible college or we don't care, basically, yeah. was what like, it felt like.
Are you with us or are you against us?
Yeah. Well, and it wasn't even like bad on you for going that other direction. It was just that there was no more assistance. Which, you know what I mean? It was like, yeah. it was like, oh, you want to be an engineer? Thumbs up. Good luck. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like there wasn't somebody sitting you down going like, okay, you need these grades. You need this application to this college to get in over
yeah, there's
here.
There's no help. At
it
that
was
point.
Just like, yeah. either you're going to ministry, in which case here's an application to come to the college that's on the same campus that you've been going to school for since you were 3 or 4 years old, or you're going to go do something else. In which case, like, good luck, but we're not going to help.
That's what's crazy though about the whole, like I just told someone, like the idea that you're not going to have an impact or do anything outside of that. You know what I mean? And then I told someone the other day, I was like, I feel like I am more in ministry now than I was when I was like, yeah, I right. said, like I'm helping more people
right.
now, but it's like in my mind,
that's what eventually started leading me away from it, was that I had started noticing people's definition of ministry. Like, so at that particular ministry, cause it was so huge, it was such a giant ministry, you know, there's 300 something people on staff there, like 300 something employees. And I started realizing that, you know, well, this guy is on payroll from the church, but like he cuts the grass.
Yeah.
And that guy runs the kitchen
yeah.
that feeds the college students. Like, is that ministry? Because technically they're all calling him, he's in full-time ministry, but he's just doing a secular job within the context of being in the church. Like that, like, so ministry, your definition really is not helping people or ministering to people. Your definition is your paycheck has the seal from the church on it. Like, that's not what ministry looks like in my definition. Like, a layman in the church that doesn't get it, that makes really good money and lives the life that he enjoys and serves on the weekends does just as much ministry as the guy that you have that's like doing lawn maintenance all week and then serves a ministry on the weekend. The difference is like that person's required to serve a ministry on the weekend in order to continue receiving their paycheck for doing non-ministry work during the week.
Yeah.
And that other person is making actual money supporting his family and enjoying his lifestyle. Well,
that's what I hit on super hard is like, I just did this in an episode, but I was like, the Bible defines religion in James or Timothy, but it basically says pure and undefiled religion is visiting widows in their affliction and caring for orphans.
Right.
And I was like,
I mean, that's not the like King James version, but yeah, sure.
Whatever, whatever. No, but it's, that's what it is. It's right. A pure and undefiled religion before God is this. Right. And then it's keeping yourself like untouched from the world or something like that. And so basically Jesus himself defined religion, not as like
to visit being a pastor. It's like widows in their affliction and to keep yourself unspotted from the world.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, so like I lived in a religious culture for a long time and did not do any of that stuff.
Right.
And like, I was very religious and I'm like, now I'm at my, I would say like least religious quote unquote, but I'm fulfilling religion way more than I ever have.
Right.
And
right.
then I have people saying like, you turn your back on, it's like, right. it's like, no,
maybe well, because they're not talking about Jesus. They're talking about what some pastor said in 1964.
Yeah. It's know? Propagation of, it's cloning. You know what I mean? It's like just right. getting yourself into, let me replicate what I appreciate and find to be compelling.
It's holding to tradition over principle.
Yeah.
It's taking principles, applying tradition to them and holding that in high regard. Like the same people that were telling me that like, oh, these newfangled worship groups, all they do is say the same phrase over and over again. And that's not real worship music. And it was like, you realize that we just sang, give me that old time religion. Like we just sang that. Yeah. Literally the song says, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. That's a verse of the song. Like that's what we're singing. And you're talking about like, well, this worship group is repeating the same phrase over and over again. And it's like, well, at least that phrase makes sense to repeat. You're just praising religion.
But you just
has
hit on
nothing to do with anything.
That's what I mean. Though, is like even that stuff was just so fear oriented. Everything, I guess that's what like most people operate. And this could go outside of religion, but like everybody operates politically, religiously, socially, like everything is motivated by the fear of the other.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. So anyway, whatever I do next in like moving this conversation forward has to be like, how do we tackle that fear of like, you know what I mean? Like
fear of what if I'm wrong? A healthy questioning, but without letting go of everything.
Because there's an extreme fragility to your worldview if you can't talk to someone with a different worldview.
Right.
And that's exactly. where I'm at with like, that's why every episode of my show is like with it's either a pastor or it's with someone who is like I just did a pastor and now I have someone who does deconstruction, or I sit down with someone who's like very Orthodox Christian. And then I have someone who's like transgender come on and talk. And like those two people would not sit and have a conversation, you know? And it's like, why can you not have all of those people? And like, you know what I mean? Not be threatened.
I agree. Well, and that's the whole point is that they feel threatened.
Yeah.
And I am speaking from personal experience because that's how I felt. Like that one of the biggest things that made me start kind of moving the direction that I'm in now is when I started thinking about how hypocritical it was from hypocrisy. And it's probably because of the way that I grew up and I saw so much hypocrisy, just blatant hypocrisy, just so rampant in that movement. Hypocrisy is just one of those things that I can't stand. That's why I don't like the fake it till you make it crowd. I don't like people who try to pretend to be somebody else. Like just give it to me straight. And if we get along, great. If not, like who cares? You know what I mean?
Oh,
but anyway, so I started realizing that I was being hypocritical because I wanted to witness to everybody of a different religion than I was. Right. So I wanted to have a conversation with a Mormon or with a Catholic or with a Muslim, but only through the lens of I'm trying to convince you to come over to my side of the conversation, that was the only way that I was willing to have the conversation. I was never having the conversation to actually be open to hearing what they had to say about it. The only way that I was interested in having the conversation was allowing them to speak while destroying whatever they said in my mind so that I could come up with a great rebuttal of why they're wrong. So anytime like I would ask them, hey, come to church with me, and fully expect them to say yes. But in my mind, I knew for a fact that if they asked me to go to church with them, I would say no. Because yeah. like, why would I go to that like heathen church? And right. you know what I mean? Like it just kind of struck me one day as a full grown adult finally in 1920, when I was just like, isn't that like the height of hypocrisy that I'm not willing to hear out anybody else and what they believe
with even the genuine place.
right. Exactly. With the genuine place of being willing to accept that they might be right. That's the big caveat. You can't just say like, well, I'm willing to hear you out, but then just hold everything that you believe the whole time. Like you have to hear someone out and then be willing to throw everything that you currently believe, your entire worldview, your reason for existing that you view, like you have to throw all of that up in the air and be willing to accept that somebody else might be right. And if you can get to that place, then you can have like real open, honest conversations with people. But if you're still coming to the conversation with this like bias of, I'll hear you out, but I know I'm right, then it's pointless to have the conversation. Cause it's just like, well, you're just going to try to convince them to believe the thing that you believe. Like you're not there to listen to what they had to say about it. You know? So that was kind of one of those things that was just like, was a big realization for me. It made me just go, you know what? I think I need to like at least give people a shot and be willing to hear what other people have to say. And then when I did that, I was like, yeah, you have a point. You have a really valid point, you know? Like
and even if they don't.
I'd believe the same thing if I grew up the way that you grew up, you know, which is a weird place to be.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for this episode. If you want to connect with me and other like-minded people who also listen to the show, then you're going to want to head over to travischappell.com/group to join my free Facebook group, The Lounge. I'll see you over there, and remember to leave every relationship better than you found it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.